do to be saved? What action does God require of me in order to be at peace with Him? There's no more important question in all of life, and there's no more important answer than the one that's given in the Word of God. There's no shortage of lies being told by groups of all sorts, religions, and people in general, but there's only one source of truth for the answer that we need, the Word of God. Welcome back. This is Light of the Word Radio, sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. Today, Pastor Jim addresses the question of faith versus works and shows us the truth about our works and what trusting in them actually produces. So let's join him as he shares from the truth of God's Word.
Galatians 3, beginning in the 10th verse. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith, rather the one who does them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. So that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. Notice the word rely on. There are many people who believe that it is what you do that gets you to heaven. There are many people that are sitting in churches around the world today who believe that if you are good enough, you'll get to heaven. If you do more good than you do bad, you'll get to heaven. There are many people who believe that. But Paul says, if you rely on the works of the law, you are under a curse. If you are counting on the works that you do to get you to heaven, you are going to be greatly disappointed. Let me rephrase that. I think that's too mild. You are going to be surprised when you land in hell, because the works of the law will never save anyone. There's some things that we have to come to go further into this text. First thing, God's word is infallible. There is no error in God's word. When we look at God's word, now I'm not talking about versions. I'm talking about the word of God as it is written. I believe there are many trustworthy versions of God's word, but God's word is perfect. There is no error. There is no discrepancy. How often in the last 20-something years, somebody has said to me, well, how do you deal with all the discrepancies in God's Word, the contradictions? I don't know of any, do you? And I've read it, and I've read it, and I've read it. Now, there are some things that if you do not read and understand God's Word by the Spirit, that you might think are contradictions. I can understand that. But if by the Spirit of God and you read His Word, you will come to understand how everything fits together. So God's word is trustworthy. Would you agree with me on that? It is trustworthy. We don't have to wonder if God's word says something, if it's really something else. When we talk with each other, sometimes that might come up. When we talk with others, sometimes that might come up. But when it's God's word, we can believe. So I wanted to touch base on that as we get started, because this curse that it's talking about is condemnation. Those who trust in God's law and not in God's word by faith are condemned to hell. Those are hard words, aren't they? And I tell you, I don't want to see anyone go to hell. I don't want to see my worst enemy go to hell. I don't want to see any political leaders go to hell. I want them to come and know who Jesus Christ is. I want them to glorify and honor God, because that's what we're called to do. But the sad truth is, Jesus made it very clear that there is a gate and a road that is narrow that leads to life eternal or to heaven, and there is a gate and a road that is wide that leads to destruction or hell, And he says that there are few who find the narrow road, and there are many who find the wide one. So how do you interpret that, except for to say there are few who will be saved and many who will be lost? There are few who will go to heaven, and there are many who will go to hell. That's how I see it. I see it that way because that's what God's word teaches. And I will never apologize for God's word. So when it says cursed here, for all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse, it is saying that if you're relying on what you do to get to heaven, you missed it completely and you will receive the curse of hell. He goes on to quote Moses, "Cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them." If you do not keep every single law in the Word of God. Now, we're not just talking about the Ten Commandments. I asked this morning, is there anybody here that has not eaten pork before? Well, by the law, you are all condemned to hell. If we have to keep the law in order to go to heaven, that means we do not account for Jesus being the fulfillment of the Levitical law. And that means if you've had a nice piece of ham, you're going to hell. Isn't that exciting? No, I wouldn't say so. If there's anything we don't keep of the law, if we're trusting in the law, then we're condemned. And folks, there is nobody walking the earth right this moment who is not condemned. Every single person was condemned. The only person ever to live who was not condemned because they did not break the law of God was Jesus Christ, the only person worthy to pay my debt. Verse 11 says, "Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith." So after having quoted Moses, in fact, he quoted Moses twice. If we were to back up into the previous verses, we would see where he said that Abraham was accounted right as righteous. It was accounted to him as righteousness. And then we have this with having to keep and do the law. But then Paul tells us that it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law. No matter how much you try to be perfect, and even if you didn't have any ham, you still fall short. Because you will not, you cannot keep the law. And I'm not talking just about the Ten Commandments. I'm talking about all the law. But let's narrow it down to the Ten Commandments for a moment. If we narrow it down to the Ten Commandments, if that is the law that you have to keep, the first one, it says, "I shall have no other gods before me." Do you have another god before you? We say, well, no, I've never put any of those things in my life. I don't have a Buddha. I don't go by and rub his belly on my way past. I don't have a chest that has all my idols in it. No, but do you have things that you put before God? Those things that you put before God become your god. Sometimes it's physical things, and sometimes it's our own desires. I want to do this, and I don't care what God says. You may not say it that way, but when God says not to do something and you do it, isn't that what you've said? Isn't that what it comes down to? So it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law. The second commandment is the idols. Again, the idol is something you put before God. Something you would give your time and your resources to. The third one, shall not use the name of the Lord in vain. People say, well, I've never used his name as a cuss word. But did you know to call out, oh God, as a explicitive would be using his name in vain? To use his name any time that does not bring honor and glory to him or reveal him is to use his name in vain. It's getting a little harder to keep those Ten Commandments, isn't it? The fourth one, keep holy the Sabbath. The fifth one, honor your father and your mother. The sixth one, thou shall not kill. Right? You say, I got that one. I haven't killed anybody. Who do you hate? Who do you hate? Because according to the scriptures, if you hate somebody, you have killed them. Just like with the seventh one, thou shalt not commit adultery. And Jesus says that one goes as far as that if you look at someone with lust, you have committed adultery with them already. The eighth one, thou shalt not steal. Yes, that's all King James, I know. Thou shalt not steal. Have you ever taken something that didn't belong to you? even something little? Does stealing count by the value of what you've taken? The ninth one, of course, I know no one here has had this one, had a problem with this one. Thou shalt not lie. What if it's a white lie? Well, white is an adjective, right? The noun is, the subject is the lie. So take off the adjective and it's just a lie. Is that, that's breaking the Ten Commandments. And then the tenth one, thou shalt not covet. To covet is to desire something that someone else has so much so that you will put aside what is right and wrong to obtain that. So you see, even if we narrow it down to the Ten Commandments, we have fallen short, haven't we? Even if we narrow it down to just the ten, saying Jesus fulfilled the rest, we still miss out on heaven. That's a scary story. It's a scary story because there are people all around us, nice people all around us, who are going to miss out on heaven and face eternal punishment in hell. Look what Paul goes on to say. For the righteous shall live by faith. This is something that's kind of a theme of Paul's, isn't it? As you look through his writings, I love the writings of Paul. As you look through the writings of Paul, you see this theme of grace over works, of righteousness by faith. So, I asked this morning in the service, and I ask now, where does that faith come from? The Bible tells us straight out, doesn't it? Faith comes by what? The hearing of God's word. Anyone ever heard that before? Faith comes by the hearing of God's word. So we need to hear God's word to get faith. But then you say, okay, well, I know some people who have heard God's word, but they don't have faith. In fact, they hate God. I can name a couple for you by name. The devil and all the fallen angels. They've heard God's word, haven't they? But they don't love him. They don't have faith in him. They believe in him, well, but they don't have faith. So where does faith come from? There is an action that we've talked about many times here, and it's worth always talking about. It's important. It's an action of God, not man. With the hearing of God's word, by the Holy Spirit of God, he moves into you. This is where the idea of just ask Jesus into my heart comes from. It's a misrepresentation, but this is where it comes from. The Holy Spirit comes into you and takes your heart of stone and makes it a heart of flesh. You say, oh, preacher, you're always telling this story. It's because it's worthy of being told over and over and over. He makes your heart a heart of flesh. He makes your heart new. He gives you a new heart. And with that new heart, you become a new creation. With the entering of the Holy Spirit to do this comes faith. Where there is no Holy Spirit, there is no faith. No matter who you are, no matter how long you've been in church, no matter who you know, no matter what denomination you are, apart from the Holy Spirit entering you and giving you a new heart, there is no faith. So faith comes by hearing of the word that the Holy Spirit uses to enter you, give you a new heart, and he brings faith with it. Then, when faith has its work, you begin to live by faith. So the righteous shall live by faith, as verse 11 says. But we aren't righteous until we get the faith, and then the righteousness that we get is that righteousness of Christ. If this matchbox is Christ, and this match is you and your sinfulness, once the Holy Spirit moves into us, and our sin is revealed to us, and our need for a Savior is revealed to us, we realize that there is nothing we can do to be clean, except not only does the Spirit come into us, but we go into Christ. So we go into Christ. When you look at this matchbox, and you look at this match, do you see the burnt match anymore? You don't. You don't see the burnt match anymore because the match is inside the box. God no longer looks upon our sin when we live by faith because we are in Christ. And when he looks upon us, what he sees is Jesus Christ. And we are covered by him. Once the Spirit is in us and we are in him, we walk, we live by faith. trusting what God has done in us. What happens sometimes, though, is we get like the Galatians. The Galatians were going along with this. They understood this. This made sense to them. Paul had taught it. They had surrendered themselves because they understood that it was the righteousness of Christ. And then along come the Judaizers, and they say, much like the garden, did God really say? They said, no, you got to be circumcised. Well, what is circumcision? Where did that come from? It came from the law, didn't it? It came from the old law that is fulfilled. So the Judaizers, what they're doing is they're taking the people out of faith and plugging them into works so that they would do something in keeping the law. Otherwise, they told these people in the Galatian church that they wouldn't be saved unless they were circumcised. Unless you do what the law says. Remember, what does Paul teach us? Paul says we are no longer under the law. We are under grace. So all of a sudden, they justify it in their own minds. Just as you probably have at some point in your Christian walk, they say to themselves, oh, well, I received it by faith, but to keep it, I got to do the things that please God. And so all of a sudden, they're trying to earn and keep their salvation that God gave them as a free gift and that He will keep. Why? Because they took the reasoning of man and put it over the Word of God. And when they did that, they showed that they never truly trusted God's Word. Now, I'm not telling you as a Christian, you're never going to question something. Because if you don't question anything, you're not reading deep enough, because God's Word raises questions. But it also gives answers. So we dig in, we dig deep, and we learn. And Paul says that the righteous shall live by faith. They will walk by faith. This is the stumbling point with the Catholic Church that Martin Luther had. He needed, in his own mind, from the teaching of the Roman Catholic Church, to constantly be confessing, because he did not want to walk out of the confessional, do his penance, walk out of the church. I would say get hit by a car, but there probably weren't too many of them around to hit him. Get run over by a horse and die. He was afraid that he would already be back in sin. Now, to offset this, the Roman Catholic Church, they developed some poor doctrines, such as the doctrine of purgatory, such as the horrible doctrine of indulgences. But you see, if we live by faith, though those things might pop up as a question in our mind, we very quickly go back to the Word that stabilizes us. It stabilizes us to understand that what God has done, man cannot undo. And God, when He saved us, man cannot undo it. So we who walk by faith, though we hear those arguments, we know we turn back to the faith by the hearing of the Word. Verse 12 says, but the law is not of faith. Rather, the one who does them shall live by them. Anybody who thinks that there is anything besides faith, besides grace, that it takes to be saved and go to heaven, has missed the boat. Because the law is not of faith. You cannot have a keeping of the law for the purpose of salvation and faith in the same place. They cannot coexist. So before I go any further, let's hit the brakes for just a second. As I've explained the reason we do not have to keep the law, I want you to know that the law has a place in us, doesn't it? That does not mean that we can just say, oh, well, if I don't have to keep the law, then I don't need to know the Ten Commandments because I don't have to worry about them. Why on earth would we worry about the Ten Commandments or try to keep the Ten Commandments or anything that God says if we're saved by faith and we walk in faith? Because He has done what He has done in us. When we work hard to keep the law with the right understanding that the law or the commandments that we're keeping is a way that we can honor God, not receive from God His favor for salvation, but honor Him by living as Christ did. When we understand that, then we'll desire to do what is right before God. Well, folks, what is our purpose in this? Are we trying to earn something from God? Or do we want to be like Christ? Do we want to follow in his footsteps? Cynthia and I used to have a cat at our house. It was an outside cat. But when Cynthia would go for a walk in the snow, the cat would follow her. And it would jump from footprint to footprint in the snow, following after her. We want to jump from footprint to follow after Christ. That is why we do what we can to keep the Ten Commandments. Not because when we fail, it'll keep us out of heaven, but because we know we have secured eternity because of what he did in us. And this shows our appreciation to it. Verse 3, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. I like some old TV shows. Everybody knows I love Andy Griffith. But another old TV show I like that I get to watch every great once in a while, maybe once every couple months or so, is a very intellectual old TV show. It's called Leave It to Beaver. And there's an episode of Leave It to Beaver where he was upset with Wally's friend Eddie Haskell. And he fashioned a voodoo doll. And he took a nail and stuck it in one spot on the voodoo doll. And he took a pin and he stuck it in another part. And nothing happened to Eddie until he told Eddie about it. And the power of suggestion caused Eddie to begin to hurt and to have pain in those places where he was told that the nail was stuck. Because Eddie believed the curse. Who wants to be cursed? Eddie didn't want to be cursed. When we think about what a curse is definitely something we don't want any part of, isn't it? Now, as we sit here, we don't think too much of a voodoo curse, do we? We don't think too much of voodoo, period. And we don't think too much of a witch's curse. We don't think too much of a lot of those sort of things. But when God says that he has a curse that he puts on man, I think we ought to pay attention. What do you think? And I think we ought to fear it. But someone came along and took that curse for us. Becoming a curse for us, Paul says. That's what Jesus Christ did. He became the curse for us. The curse is eternity in hell. The curse is separation from God. The curse is all the punishments, all the flames, all the torment of hell. The wrath of God on us. And hanging on the cross on that day we call Good Friday, Jesus took every ounce of that curse, making it effective for all who believe. If you believe in Jesus Christ because of what he has done in you, his spilled blood is effective for you. Now, we also say that it's sufficient for everybody that ever lived, but it's not efficient for them unless they believed. So what was it that was a back a few verses that was accounted to Abraham as righteousness? That he believed. Jesus hung on that tree and took the wrath of God met for every man and woman. And every man and woman who is separated from Christ will still receive their share. But every man and woman who is one in Christ, theirs has already been paid. Verse 14, so that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. By believing, we want to go through this dance one more time. How do we believe? Well, believing comes by faith, right? How do we get faith? Faith comes by the work of the Holy Spirit in us, in the entering of us, giving us a new heart, bringing faith with him. By this work of Jesus Christ, we receive the blessing of Abraham as Gentile. As people who were not of the promise, we were grafted in because of Jesus Christ. And that means any man or woman that God moves on and brings faith to and believes can be in him and receive this blessing of eternity that was promised to Abraham and his descendants, making you and I spiritual descendants of Abraham, so that we might receive the promised Spirit. Back to that Spirit. Remember, how did we receive that Spirit? Through faith? He brought that faith with him, didn't he? He brought that faith with him. So he gives us hope. He gives us hope that we did not have. He gives us hope in who he is and what the future holds. And I'm not talking about the future in this life. I'm talking about the future of all eternity. Our time on this earth in eternity is but a dot, but a vapor is this life. Eternity, eternity is forever. And that's the gift that we received. And that is the very gift that the Judaizers wanted to rob. When you hear a preacher on the radio, when you hear a preacher on TV, when you hear a preacher in a church, in a tent, inside, outside, upside down, I don't care. When you hear a preacher anywhere who would tell you that you have to do something on top of what God has done for your salvation, you need to run. You need to remove yourself from that person. Because that person is like the Judaizers and is out to rob you of who Christ is. Now, if you believe him, you need to examine your life. Because if you believe that Judaizer, if you believe that liar, it's because the Spirit is not within you to show you. But when you hear that Judaizer, you hear that liar, and your spirit is troubled, because you know that whatever it is they're saying is not true, what more reason do you need than to jump up and down and praise our holy God? Because he has given you wisdom that you needed to know. Isaiah 44. I'm going to read a little bit of that. But hear now, O Jacob, my servant, Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus says the Lord who made you, who formed you from the womb and will help you. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant. And then I'm going to drop down to verse 6. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, the Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. Who is like me? Let him proclaim it. Let him declare and set it before me. Since I appointed an ancient people, let them declare what is to come and what will happen. Fear not, nor be afraid. Have I not told you from of old and declare it? And you are my witnesses. Is there a God besides me? There is no rock. I know not any. Trust in this rock. He is the one and only true God. And he will carry you through all the things that you face in this life. He will carry you as you go forward. But don't trust in man. Trust in God.
Faith is the free gift of God, imparted by his Spirit when he accompanies the hearing of his word. The work of salvation is done by God alone. What a wonderful truth. What an awesome God. Imagine the peace that passes all understanding being poured out over your life. It can be a reality. And all it takes is believing God and trusting his word instead of the ideas of man. Trust in him and in him alone. We want to thank you for joining us today, and we would love to hear from you. If you've been blessed by this message or have questions about the content or about our ministry, if you have need of counsel or guidance or want us to pray for you, please reach out to us and let us know. We can be reached in many different ways. We can be called toll-free at 800-416-9352, or you can find us on the web at www.lightoftheworldradio.com, or you can reach us by mail at Light of the Word Radio, P.O. Box 1, St. George, Kansas, 66535. When you reach out to us in any of these ways, you can also inquire about participating in the support of this ministry. If you desire to partner with us to keep this broadcast on the air, please let us know. We would like to send you a gift of appreciation. At your request, as a thank you for a gift of any size, we will send you the book, On This Day, A Daily Guide to Spiritual Lessons from Christian History by Dr. Paul E. Barkey. Just mention that you would like the book when you call or write. This has been Light of the Word Radio, sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. We want to thank you for allowing us to spend some time with you. We hope that you'll join us next time. Until then, I'm Pastor Eugene, and on behalf of all of us here at Light of the Word Radio, thanks, and may God bless you, and bless the hearing of his word.